Wow, that was awesome worship this morning. Thank you, worship team and Pastor Deb, for leading us to God's throne. But thank you, Holy Spirit, for just your presence. It just changes things. It's like the atmosphere. His presence just changes things. It may be stormy, but you know what? One move of him, and all of a sudden, it's clear. Father, I thank you that you're just going to lead us today. It's all about you, where you want us to go. In Jesus' name, amen. Ed is a real estate agent now, and he's actually closing on another house in a couple of weeks, so we praise God for that. Hard work, because let me tell you, when he's home, he's working all the time, downstairs, looking at houses. And the other thing that he does that I think is more important is he, by faith, calls them in. And some of the people in his office are like, how are you getting so many houses and so many people? And he said, God. You see, he will give you favor. You just have to ask for that favor. In business, it's an amazing thing. Have you seen the TV show, Property Brothers? So because he's a real estate agent, we have HGTV and all those shows on constantly in the house. I don't mind. I love it. So what they do is, one's a real estate agent and one is a contractor. If you've not seen the show, they find clients and they say, okay, what is your dream house? And they tell them all the things that they want. And then they take them to these really expensive houses that meet their needs. And they're like, oh, this is perfect. And their budget's $400,000. And they say, how much is this house? And he says, it's $900,000. And they're like, why would you bring us somewhere that's $900,000 when our budget's $400,000? And he said, because there's another house that we will fix up that will be just like this house. So one of them's a real estate agent, and one of them is a contractor. And I kind of thought about God. God redeems us. So he buys us. So he's more like that real estate agent. He actually gets that house for us. He buys us by the blood. Then the Holy Spirit comes and begins to fix us up. Some of us need to be redecorated a little bit. Just rearrange some things. You have all the right things, but they're in the wrong order. I'm going to say that again. You have everything that you need, but they're in the wrong order. You see, you might have your family, your job, and God. And God says, God, family, job. If it doesn't fit that order, you're going to have problems. If your job is more important than your family, you're going to have problems. I'll say that again. If your job is more important than your family, you're going to have problems. If your family is more important than God, you're going to have problems. See, it's the right things, just getting them in the right order. And some of it's easy, just saying, oh, I need to change that. I need to make sure that I have God first. Some of them need to just be repaired, recarpet, repaint. It's just cosmetic stuff. There's just some things that you just have to redo. How much you had shag carpet growing up? Well, yeah, I'm dating us, but we had orange shag carpet in one room and green in the other. My mom's saying, you know, we're going to redo the house and we're going to take up the carpet as we got into the 80s. But some of us just need to gut the whole room. I mean, there is nothing but the studs left. Everything's got to go. But the mistake is trying to change the entire house instead of that room. You see, in our house, we have different rooms. You might have the room of fear. You might have the room of pride. You might have the room of worry. And we go in and try to redo the whole house at one time, and you can't do that. You'll get exhausted, you'll get frustrated, and you'll blame God. But if the Holy Spirit points out one area in your life, focus on that area first. It's about the process. He might be saying, you know what? Don't worry about your job. I want to teach you about faith. Don't worry about the job. Trust me. That's the room of worry. I remember when I worked at WorldSpan, and Ed and I were talking about this the other day. We had a wedding dinner last night. Was planning a... Let me tell you, Larissa, she and Michelle are getting married. The most organized couple I have ever met in my life for their wedding. They came with a binder. and gave each of us an attachment for our job, I mean, job description, 2 pages. A lot of times I'm like, so what do you guys want? I don't know. Everybody's different. Anyway, we're over there. So we're having our dinner with them, and I pass my old company. It's called Travelport. It's over in the Galleria. There's a big building there. So, and I was there for almost, what, 12 years? Long time. Every time I pass that building, I think about the good things. Are you like me? I don't ever think about the bad things. I have that kind of mindset of like, oh, I had such a great time. Ed's like, no, you really had a hard time there at the end. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess so. But I was there and I kept thinking, but he says, so many times you were afraid you were going to lose your job. And I remember driving to that building after they told us we had 3,500 people employed, and they told us we were going to be losing about 1,000 people. That's a pretty big cut. Well, it was going to be a reorg. I know what that means. And they said to me, okay, there are like 6 of us that do this job, and I'm toward the bottom as for seniority. I'm probably going to be one that go. And I heard God so clearly speak to me, Travelport is not your source. I am your source. And just a peace came over me. And I go back to that all the time. Whenever I get worried about finances, I'm like, God is my source, not me. When we had that roof whole thing happen, first thing, oh, you need a new roof. Oh, no. How are we going to do this? And Ed and I, after we cried a little, okay, how are we going to come up with 15 grand? And all of a sudden, ding, God. So God provided for the roof, and in his grace, provided for other things. You see, in our house, we were going to redecorate something. Our old house was in Stockbridge, Georgia. Big house, big windows, big rooms. And being the gay man that I am, I like color, and I did the eggplant walls. Looked really cool. Now, that worked there. So when we get to this other house here, I said, oh, let's do the eggplant walls again. Now, the other room is not large with huge windows and a lot of light coming in. So it kind of looked like a cave. We did everything we could to brighten that room up. Lamps and mirrors, and it was always so dark. But one, because I'm frugal, I didn't want to repaint the whole thing again. And second, I'm like, well, we'll just get used to it. But in all of this with the roof, there was a little leak on one of the walls. So when the insurance came in, they said, oh, we'll repaint this wall for you. Like, oh, yeah. So they came in and took that purple out. When Ed got home, he's like, oh, my God, it's a new house. I mean, the whole room has all been redecorated. But sometimes it's just a little thing that you've been living with for so many years that is causing everything to be so dark. And God says, it's just going to take a little repainting. It's not going to take knocking down the wall. Just let him into that part of your life and let him repaint it. Let him redecorate it. Let him restore it. If Satan defeats you in your mind or attitude, he will defeat you in every area of your life. We don't realize how important our thought, our mind is. You know, you had that bracelet, what would Jesus do? What about what would Jesus think? I want the mind of Christ. There's a scripture, and it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as you're thinking in your heart, or as your soulless realm is there, that's really who you are. But then this one says, okay, God, I want to think like you. And then Philippians, Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Makes no sense to me. How can I get his mind? But if you look in the Amplified, it says this, have this same attitude in yourselves, which was in Christ Jesus. So the mind is really, if you go into the Greek, that word mind is saying attitude. So I want to talk about attitude. In the words of one of the most prolific writers that you probably know of about attitude, Patti LaBelle, says, I'm feeling good from my head to my shoes. Know where I'm going, and I know what to do. I tidied up my point of view. I got a new attitude. I'm in control, my worries are few, because I've got love like I've never knew. Ooh, 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 ooh. I got a new attitude. And it comes from Jesus. I know where I'm going. This is not my home. These things are not where my heart needs to be. My heart needs to be on Him and in His kingdom. Let me tell you, as you get older, you realize that your looks will change. In our community, I was thinking about it at all over the culture, but gay men specifically, your whole thought of who you are resides in your appearance. You're given that lie over and over again. I mean, your esteem, who you are, your friends, it's such a pressure. And you have to have the right selfie on Facebook, and you've got to look a certain way. Wow, why do we put ourselves in that pressure? Do you realize what's happening? All of your thought and all of your energy is all about the external and not about this part or about that part. And what happens is, as you get older and things begin to change, all of a sudden, you lose some of that self-esteem. You lose some of those feelings of, wow, I'm not that person anymore. I don't look that certain way. So it's what is on the inside and what has God done that transforms you. And that is really what it's about. That's where the attitude has to come into play. So how is your attitude? It took 40 years to make an 11-day journey for the children of Israel. That number confounds me even to today. I think about often, Lord, am I acting like the children of Israel going through this process over and over again? I mean, it would have been 11 days to get from Egypt to the promised land, yet 40 years. Do you know why? Because an entire generation had to die. They left Egypt, but they did not leave the Egyptian mindset. They left the location, but they lived underneath that same thought process and that same culture. God calls us out of that. I know some of you have been abused in the past, and some of you have been mistreated, but you can't live the Christian mindset with that old way of thinking. You can't live victoriously in the Christian mindset, because He says, turn the other cheek. When your brother or sister or whoever went, how many times do we forgive? Peter, seven, Lord, I know. Now, Peter was a good guy. He was a good Jew. He was doubling what was required. Yet he said, 70 times seven. You can't hold on to it because it destroys you. That being bitter and that being anger, it's like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It does not work. You're the one who's ingesting the poison over and over again. So release it. I've had to release a lot of people in my life. I'm old. A lot of people. Yet I don't do it for them. I do it for me. I don't want to stay 40 years going through the same thing. It's not worth it. I mean, truly releasing them to where you can really pray for them. Now, the first time might be like, Lord, get them. Get them. And then it's going to change. Lord, really, bless them. And when you see them being blessed, be excited for them. It's hard. I mean, I'm talking real. When you actually attempt to do it, God will help the rest. It's getting us out of that Egypt mindset. 40 years for an 11-day journey, and then this is another math thing. 2 million versus two. Out of 2 million people, two of them went to the promised land. Two of them. And why did Caleb go into the promised land? But because my servant Caleb had a different what? And has wholeheartedly followed me. I'll bring him to the land he already explored. His descendants will possess it. It is about our attitude. It is about our thoughts. Now, I'm not one of the pastors who believe that you can claim everything and it's yours. We used to say, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. Right? I claim $1 million in Jesus' name. I had a friend, every time a Mercedes went down, I claim that car in Jesus' name. I'm like, one, they're driving that car. It's not yours. Two, you're not even working. Come on. We have to do our part as well. But you can claim the promises of God in the spirit world. His promises are in the spirit world. I claim wholeness in my life. I claim peace in every area of my life. I claim health in my life because those were paid for on the cross. And it's getting my attitude lined up with His word. That is truth. In Luke 6, it says, building a house on a solid foundation, it has to be built on Jesus. I have had relationships in the past that were not built on Jesus. And you know what? They were like cards. They just came tumbling down. It's amazing whenever I talk to people, and I know a lot of people in this church are looking for a significant other and looking for that mate. And it's really so easy. Honestly, it is. You said, yeah, because you found one. Well, I went 3 years not dating anybody because I said, God, I am not going to date anybody that is not the one. So you let me know when it's right. And I had a lot of Romans come at that time. And when I found somebody who was a believer, that has to be first. I mean, that's got to be the foundation. Don't even think about the evangelism dating. Oh, I'm going to bring him into the kingdom. Oh, yeah. Good luck. If I could tell you how many people are no longer here because they did evangelism dating, you would be surprised. Just telling you. If it's built on God, then the rest is going to happen. Amy, your relationship, you guys are believers, so that's the foundation you have. I am so excited for what God's going to do in your life. I just sense it so strongly. We met with you a couple of weeks ago, and I told Ed, I said, I just see God's hand completely on your life. And some of those things that have happened in the past, He's going to restore in a different way than you're thinking, but He's going to restore them, and He's going to propel you forward, and I just see you really touching a lot of people. The two of you together are going to be a powerful force. That's just lanyard. That's just extra. But solid foundation. Ephesians says this. How do you do it? Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off, discard your old, unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life. You actually have to physically take things off. You see, a lot of times we try to take our old coat. Let's say I have a coat up here and it has holes in it. And I'm so used to this coat. Okay, God wants to give me a new coat. And He gives me a new coat, and all of a sudden, I put it on top of that old coat. Now, the old coat stinks. It's itchy. It's dirty. Yet, I put the brand new coat on top of the old coat. Now, God says, take off that old coat. Shame will keep you in a place where you think you're just used to it. Some people live this way because they can't break through this, and it's shame. But if I gave you your old coat here and your new coat, you would still go to your old coat even though it is rattered, torn, and does not fit you because you're used to it. You see, putting on a new attitude and stripping yourself, it's hard because you leave that comfort zone. If you're a controlling person, that means you have to leave some of that outside and let the Holy Spirit do that. If you're an insecure person, that means that you're going to have to trust somebody to take care of you. If you're a person who's been abandoned, that means that you're going to have to trust that you may be abandoned, but God will be there. He will not abandon you. It's taking off that old stuff and stripping yourself of that previous manner of life. It's like wallpaper. If you ever go in a house that has the wallpaper, I mean, if you can paint over it, but unless you do a really dark color, it's going to bleed through. I mean, you're going to put white on it. After time, you're going to see that, oh, no, you have to actually strip that paper off. It's a tedious process. I mean, it's one of the things that takes so long to do, but to do it right, each piece has to come off. And in our life, it's the same way. What areas of your life does He want to strip away? Paul goes on to say, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, strip, take off, the old way of thinking. How do we constantly be renewed? One, by the Spirit, of course, not just on Sundays. I mean, Deb talked about it today. When your spirit really connects with His, she called it groanings. We might call it praying in the Spirit, travail. When you really connect with Him, things will get stripped away from your life. Strip off the old way of thinking, the old mindsets. And it says, put on the new self, created to be like God, in true righteousness and holiness. So he goes on to say, since then, we do not have to have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. Got it. But we like to stay. Pastor Keith, I want to bring the way I'd like to do things into Jesus and let him conform to me. That's really what is done. Okay, I've accepted Jesus. Now, Jesus, Holy Spirit, come into my life, and I will continue to do what I want to do, and I will bring you into the parts that kind of meet the way I want to do them. Good luck. And then a year from now, you'll be in the same place saying, okay, I'm going through the same thing. I know. Because you have to allow him to strip away some of those things. Some of us have identities in our life that we have gotten from the world, and God says, that is not even who you are. Now, some of you are businessmen, some of you are writers, some of you are teachers, but those are the God parts. That's different. I'm talking about identities. I'm talking about someone says you're a phlegmatic or sanguine, or and you live that way. For years, I lived in one of those I wasn't even, because the test, it wasn't done correctly on me. I answered the questions and I got somebody else's answers. So here I am thinking most of my life I'm a sanguine. And then they take the test like, well, you're not a sanguine. I'm like, but they told me I was. They said I was this. But you see, I have noticed over the years that I've changed. I used to be very shy, extremely. Let me tell you. You too. But when God comes in, I've got a message that has to come out. That's the change. When I was in high school, I might have four friends tops. You know, there was 1,000 guys in this high school, and maybe four of them were my friends. Robert, who comes here, he was in high school with me. We were at Home Depot a few years ago, and he's like, you look familiar. And I'm like, you look familiar too. And we figured out we went to high school together. Had I known back then that he was gay too, we would have been friends. But I think we try to actually take on identities instead of God telling us who we really are. You see, in Scripture, he says there's neither male nor female, there's neither Greek nor Jew. He gives us those identities. So let him speak to you who you really are. He said, the old life is rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned, say God-fashioned. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. So what I want to give you today is let God begin to strip away some of those old things. You don't have to be the superstar. You don't. I think you are, but you don't have to be. You don't have to be this perfect couple. You don't have to be this perfect mom. God wants to work from the inside out who he wants us to be. Because what happens is, if we have that idea of this perfection, when we fail, that whole idea is gone, and I don't have anything else. So I have to find something else to hold on to. I have to find someone else to hold on to. But God wants to say, no, I have changed your name. I have called you this. When he gives you the name and when he calls you by name, that's who you are. You're not a mother. That's not your label. You are Brittany, who God has called. When you have problems, you can't have your identity and be in that perfect relationship, because then it's gone. He's calling us to be just like her, that little girl who just loves to worship and just loves him and just rejoices in his presence. If we can get back to that, that's what it's about. He wants you first to know you are his child, and he loves you more than anything else. Not teacher, not student, but just a child. Father, I ask the Holy Spirit that you begin to come and just strip off old identity, strip off old ways of thinking that I have to do this or I have to be this certain way. I thank you that you have new things for us.